I'm on the road to recovery, step by step. Tears on my pillow that won't dry on their own beyond my ears. I've no sorrow, but today I don't walk alone.
Yeah,
'cause I'm on the road to recovery, step by step.
Hello, and welcome to the Fort Lauderdale Primary Purpose Big Book Study Group's Thursday Night Alcoholics and God Speaker Step Series. We're going to start off with a joke.
Hey, Spencer, alcoholic joke teller. I got another one from Drunk as a Skunk, 150-plus jokes for beer lovers, wine connoisseurs, and raging alcoholics. You know, there's a lot of funny things you learn about being sober. One I had to realize recently is I was so drunk last year that I was texting the entire time with a calculator.
Thank you, Spencer. I'm a recovered alcoholic, and my name is Jay. Hey guys, thanks for joining us tonight. In a minute, we're going to start our 2-minute meditation, so please take a moment to get situated. Please turn off all devices that might make noise or distract others. Take this time to get connected to God. Let the craziness of the day drift away and ask God to help you stay focused on the step study tonight. So if everybody's ready, we can start the meditation.
Christus, Domine Deus,
do the fog light prayer now. If you don't know it, it's up on the screen here. God, let your love shine through me like a fog light, so those who are lost, sick, and dying can find your love through me. Amen. Thank you. There is a solution from the Big Book, page 17. The tremendous fact for every one of us is that we've discovered a common solution. We have a way out on which we can absolutely agree and upon which we can join in brotherly and harmonious action. This is the great news this book carries to those who suffer from alcoholism. And I have asked Grant to read Appendix 2, Spiritual Experience. We read this because the main purpose of the 12 steps is to have one, so it's kind of important to know what one is. Let's welcome Grant.
My name's Grant. I'm an alcoholic. The terms spiritual experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in this book, which upon careful reading shows that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among in many different forms. Yet, it is true that our first painting gave many readers the impression that these personality changes or religious experiences must be in the nature of sudden and spectacular upheavals. Happily for everyone, this conclusion is erroneous. In the first few chapters, a number of sudden revolutionary changes are described. Though it was not our intention to create such an impression, many alcoholics have nevertheless concluded that in order to recover, they must acquire an immediate and overwhelming God consciousness, followed at once by a vast change in feeling and outlook. Among our rapidly growing membership of thousands of alcoholics, such transformations, though frequent, are by no means the rule. Most of our experiences are what the psychologist William James calls the educational variety, because they develop slowly over a period of time. Quite often, friends of the newcomer are aware of the difference long before he is himself. He finally realizes that he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life, that such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. What often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. With few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. Most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. Most empathetically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial. We find that no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable. There is a principle by which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. That principle is contempt prior to investigation. Herbert Spencer.
Please refrain from disturbing others by talking or constantly getting up and sitting back down. This is a tech-free meeting, so please set your phones to airplane or meeting mode or just turn them off. And I'll stop talking now, and we can introduce Peter. Welcome, Peter, for his sixth session.
Okay. Thank you. My name is Peter, recovered alcoholic. Grateful to be alive and sober and part of a sacred place called Alcoholics Anonymous. And I want to thank Ms. Kelly for filling in last week. Thank you for that. Mary and I were in Ohio last week, which was a real treat to get there. And got to visit, probably our third visit to Dr. Bob's house, and right next door to Dr. Bob's house is this other place, in kind of a library, and we got to sit with a woman named Gail L. and sit in about an hour, hour and a half session of studying our history, the really early days of AA. And I was just sharing this last night, how they did not shy away from the G-O-D word. It was almost a must. And a lot of their practices borderline on religion, and it was okay to do. And I found out on How True It Is that in Vancouver, when we have our international, they're going to close with the responsibility prayer instead of the Lord's Prayer. So I always have to wonder, have we drifted away from who we are in order to be non-offensive to folks? And I always wonder, if God offends you, God doesn't have the problem, but you do, or I do in that case. And when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, I'm a cradle Catholic, and I had a lot of problems with my religion. I had problems with a lot of the religious dogma and all the things. And if you thought about it, you're going to hell and burn and all this stuff. And coming to Alcoholics Anonymous in 1988, they were talking a whole lot about God. And so what I was told to do was write some inventory and fix that and get healed from that and have a new point of view on that. And thank the good Lord that has happened. So it's just great to touch our history and see some of the books that these guys were reading. Learned about Clarence Snyder, and it just went on and on and on, and it was just a great time. But at the same time, I was missing being here. So again, thank you for filling in. June 23rd, 1988 is when God separated me from alcohol. I do have a sponsor, and I'm currently sponsoring 14 men, and that's why I have wrinkles and gray hair. It's interesting, right, Jesse? But it is one of the bright spots. I love sponsoring guys who want to be sponsored. I love sponsoring men who are all in, and not perfect, but they're interested in what's going on. They're interested in their home group. They're interested in this book, our fellowship. They don't shy away from learning more about our history and experiencing more of God, and they do a lot of work, road work on their own. And I love to watch that this thing bloom and get them to get their own sponsees. And so it's a real treat. And I've said it from a million podiums, I love our fellowship. I couldn't fathom life without Alcoholics Anonymous, quite frankly. When I was sitting treatment center after treatment center after treatment center, and I would see the H&I folks come in and bring meetings into treatment, I said, my God, get a life. It's Saturday night, you're sitting in a detox with me, you know, or, you know, you graduate from detox into the treatment center and you think, you know, we got it together now, because I sounded good in group today. These folks would bring meetings in. You know, some of them would drive an hour. I was in Amityville, Long Island. They drive an hour on a Saturday or Friday night. I said, my God, get a life. How do you do this? And they were saying how they were making five meetings a week and seven meetings a week and, you know, sponsees. And I'm saying, how lame is lame? I mean, you know, just don't drink. You know, look at me. I got 3 days back. I'm great. And the conversion happens where I am now. It's been years. I don't know. I wouldn't want to be a civilian. And God bless them, they don't know the torture we've experienced at the hands of booze. But to wake up, go to work, come home, eat, watch TV, fall asleep, wake up, go to work, and, you know, and we go to work, come home, and then where are we going? Who's speaking? Where's the conference? And that kind of stuff. And you know, if you're around here a while, your phone's constantly ringing with things going on. What a life. And you know what happens before the meeting, all the talking and the chatter and the laughing and cutting up. It's quite frankly just music. It's music for the soul. It's soul food. And when the meeting breaks up, I attend the meeting fairly often on a Wednesday night. And the meeting ends at 8:30, and it was a little after 9, and we were still in the meeting hall, you know. And then there's talking outside the meeting, because I had to lock up. And before the meeting, you get there and people sitting down talking. And that's Alcoholics Anonymous. It's a beautiful thing. It's music. And I'm so grateful to be a part of it. I do have a sponsor, by the way. I didn't say that. I'm accountable to my sponsor. I call him as suggested, and I share with him, and we have our time on the phone. And that's another thing I'm so grateful for. I got to Alcoholics Anonymous during my first 6 months. I was talking to people. I wasn't really locked into someone. And then I found this guy, Kip S., who was kind of like a sponsor. We didn't really do step work. And when I got home from Minnesota, right after a year, I was brought to what was going to be my first home group, and I got my first appointed teacher. And over the last 35 out of 36 years, maybe over 35 years, I've never been without a sponsor. It's something else I just can't fathom. And I'm blessed, thank you, God, that I don't have a sponsor in name only. You know, tell people I have a sponsor, but I haven't spoken to him in, 2 months or something. And when I do call, everything's great, everything's good, click. You know, I've been able to have men who at times held my feet to the fire, which was necessary. Big Book says we alcoholics are undisciplined, so we let God discipline us in a simple way we just outlined. God has hands and feet that call sponsors who are going to call me on my stuff. I had a sponsor, Mark H. He says, there's going to come a time and place when you're going to have to tell a drunk something you don't want to say because it hurts you to say, and it's going to hurt them to hear, but who else is going to do it? And those are the type of men that brought me up in Alcoholics Anonymous. So I do have an assignment tonight, step five. Hopefully we'll get to it at some point, and we'll see where God goes. The thing I had to be, I may have shared this a couple of weeks ago, the thing I had to be convinced of at a gut level, not a conclusion in the mind. I know some folks who are saying it's a first three steps of conclusions in the mind. I have a different experience. I'm not saying I'm right and they're wrong. I just have a different experience. My mind concludes one thing, drunk. How to get drunk, how to stay drunk, how to rob and steal, lie, cheat, and all of that. So conclusion of mine, it's not my experience. I had to get at a gut level, deep down in here, be convinced that once I pick up a drink, I can't stop. And any amount of willpower I muster up, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the consequences, that I'm going to go back to that which is killing me. The most insane thing I'll ever do is from a place called sober. And the first thing is pick up a drink. I never picked up the first drink drunk. What am I going to do about this? And that wasn't like, well, a counselor said it or an AA person said it and it sounded good. I had to go way past the conclusion of the mind to know in here that this was my truth. When the book says a life which demands rigorous honesty, it doesn't only mean for me cash register honest or not lying to people. Rigorous honesty is I'm an alcoholic. I can't control the stopping and the starting. And we have, you know, doctor's opinion, 43 pages, bring us to the question on page 45 that I need to know that I have no control over once I pick up a drink. I have no control over the stopping and the starting. I had a friend, Charlie, rest his soul, would say something like, I drink until I have to stop. And I stop until I have to start again. And the sun could come up and the sun could come down, a pocket full of money or no money. She loves me. She hates me. I'm up. I drink. That's what I do. And the evidence is abundantly clear that that's been my story. And even though I'm sober a number of years now, thank you, God, in AA, I still have alcoholism. I may not be suffering so much from it, but I'm clear I don't have alcoholism. It's because I accumulate some days or years in Alcoholics Anonymous. I still have this main problem, this predator. It's called the mind. And that's not going anywhere. That'll be with me till God gives me my last breath. What am I going to do about this monster? Because I'm physically separated from booze. I got a sober body, but doesn't mean I'm non-alcoholic. In fact, when we study the book, especially page 62, it slams me right into what I'm up against. And that's me. And all the thinking, selfish, self-centered, self-seeking, all of that. It doesn't talk about booze. I'm not drinking now, and I'm into this work, and it's about getting as much distance from me as possible. And when I say me specifically, this thinking, it's the thing that gets me in trouble. It convinces me, it works me to steal, to lie, to cheat, to embellish, to conveniently lift things out, sins of omission. This is what the sponsor. So everyone else is like, oh, why should I be honest with them? And I start to believe my own lies after a while. I tell them so often, I believe it's a truth. And I base my life based on a lie. I don't even know who I am anymore. I get so far away from home base, I'm lost. I had to get back. And the thing, when I'm in that place, I can't see you again if I talked to you last week, because I might have said something. I don't remember what the hell I said. And if you ask me a question about last conversation, I'm sweating bullets because I lied to you the whole time. It's like two people getting together on a first date. It's 2 hours of lies. I'm rich and famous. So are you. Great. Let's have a relationship. We find out we're broke and we have nothing going on. I can't do that. And the only thing that's going to kind of get me in line and sign up for this is desperation. Again, back to that gut level where we start to hear ourselves about to lie. Here I go again. This is not good. I'm just going to put it out on the table. You know, I screwed up with something. And that's just God working. And that desperation, quite frankly, for me, comes from God. I couldn't make myself desperate enough to get into Alcoholics Anonymous and seek help. I have no power to get humble. Or I have no power to become, I'm going to make myself willing starting tomorrow. Anyone's around here a while will confirm that comes from the boss. God, please, I need willingness. I need courage. You know, I have no humility. Show me how to have humility, and pain and suffering will bring about humility. Sometimes humility just comes from, I don't know how to do this. Please help me. And this has to work, because if it doesn't work, I'm in serious trouble. This has to click. That's humility. I can pretend I'm humble, but I'm just prideful in disguise. That's all it is. So I start to walk through the work with my sponsor. First time through the work and up until I don't know how many times I've been through the steps. I like to do an annual 1, 2, 3, 4 through 9 into 10, 11, and 12. That doesn't mean I repeat what I did. It's just a new experience and seeing what's laying around. You know, the old analogy, if we vacuumed and shampooed this rug tonight after the meeting, and really did a heck of a job on it. It looked pristine when we got done. In a month, 2 months, 6 months, or certainly by next year, it may not be as dirty, but it's going to need a cleaning. I mean, we vacuum our apartment often because it collects stuff. Well, what about my soul? I could do a thorough house cleaning the first time around, but, you know, I'm moving along 10, 11, or 12 and making amends, but I come back in a year from now. I got a little plaque on the soul. I've accumulated some stuff and maybe some ideas and belief systems that I don't even know they're going on, but I'm starting to feel the effects of it. Just I'm just putting my head on the pillow and I'm not in there. A lot of narratives going on. I get some contempt going on, a little jealousy going on because he's always speaking and I'm not. They're engaged and I'm not. They got the new car and the promotion of the job and I don't. And I start to get plaque on the soul. But when I walk into AA, I pretend everything's just groovy, man. I'm good. How are you doing? I'm great. Look, I'm levitating right now. Everything's good. So I had to take a look at the depths of alcoholism in step one. I know I'm an alcoholic when I get here, and I know that. I had a history with outside issues, narcotics. I got all that. But I don't know how deep alcohol, those roots run, that it's working on me while I'm sober. It's called thinking. I used to think I had thoughts, and I wake up to the real fact that thoughts have me, that my thought life creates my current reality. And when that's going on, I don't feel a part of God. I feel a part from God. And I'm into a place called self-reliance, unmanageability, fear, and current agnosticism. And I'm chasing my tail. And I'm running from meeting to meeting to meeting to meeting, trying to get okay, and I'm not okay. It's gotten so bad, I'm sitting in a meeting, I'm not okay, now I'm waiting for it to end. I got things to do. What? I don't know. I just don't want to be here. And there's that old default button that says double vodka now. And I walk right into it. And I merge remorse with a firm resolution, not going to do it anymore, go to detox, go to treatment, come into AA, I'm going to do it this time, and 30 days go by and I'm back out again. That's powerless. And the civilians, family members say, what's wrong with you? Why can't you get this? You need a hobby. You need a job. You need a relationship. You need to keep busy. Don't think about it. My grandmother, bless her heart, she says, when you want to do that, just chew gum. I swear to you, she told me this. And she meant it, just chew gum. You know, okay. I was up to 30 packs a day. It wasn't working. They don't get it. They don't have to get it. I have to get it. And how I get it is through pain and suffering. And so I get to Alcoholics Anonymous. The sponsor begins walking me through the steps and did some work in step one, some writing assignments, a whole lot of reading and a bunch of praying, and him talking to me, explaining to me like student and teacher. And based on my experience, I said, yeah, the book lines up with me and I line up with the book. Now what do I do? How do I get out of this mess? Because I'm in AA and I'm still jiggling. I'm sitting in a chair and I'm fidgety and I don't know what to do with myself. I have no prospects for a relationship or a job on the horizon. I really don't know what to do here. And I got to go out there and do life. I got to make it. No. Because anything I put before recovery, I'm going to lose anyway. And I got to take a quick look at it. What am I starting to worship other than God? What have I made God? Money, property, and prestige in my relationship, the car I drive? It kind of just slides right in there. And suddenly, I'm worshiping my money. I walk into AA with a bunch of money, and I suddenly think I'm better than everybody. I got money on me. It'll pay for my next detox. That's good. And step two was the pointer out. And there were some things in chapter 10, agnostics. My sponsor walked me through how, where, and why to find God. What my current conception of God was. What my old conception of God was. You know, what does that look like? What's tangible to me right now? Who am I? This woman, Carolyn May, says, who is your God? Who am I praying to? And if you don't have an idea, that's cool. As long as we're praying, sometimes it's not tangible. It's vague. It's kind of, I really don't know, but we're doing it. It has to come a point where I have a God of my understanding, even though I'll never understand God. But it might be this and it might be that. And I little by slowly gravitated right back to the carpenter. That was easy for me. It's still that way. And that opened up a whole lot of other doors for me. Thank you, God. And I make a decision to get right with this God. Because the only one's going to get in the way of me and alcoholism is God. Not my home group. They'll rally around me. It's soldiers. You know, unity, there's power. My dad always told me, in unity, there's power. In numbers of power. Well, we got it. But I have to go home at night and put my head on the pillow. 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 a.m., 4 a.m., 5 a.m., 6 a.m. A lot of hours alone. In my car all alone. I need something. And God could and would if he was so. What am I doing to knock on a door? Yeah. So step three is about making the decision to get there. And here comes the heavy lifting. I'm about to do a searching and fearless moral inventory of my life, not yours. Most of us, if you're like me anyway, just in family conversations, we're brought up gossiping about, you see what the neighbors did? You believe these people? The neighborhood's gone to hell since they moved in there. We're not looking at, we're like hillbillies living in Beverly Hills. It's all their fault. And we do that growing up. We talk about people. We point fingers. If they did this, I'd be okay. If they did that, we'd be okay. It goes on and on. I walk in and say, yeah, that's not changed. And for the very first time in my life, they said, disregard what they've done entirely. Even the people who did nasty, terrible things to us, our book is asking us to do some heavy lifting, and only with God's power can I do it. I'm going to disregard what they did entirely. I had a man who treated me really bad as a little boy. He did bad things to me as a little boy. My book says disregard what he did entirely. Stop. I want to punch him in the mouth. We got that. Just disregard it for now. Because the only thing it's doing is killing you. And that was my Annie Lentz. How free do I want to be? Doesn't mean have a friendship with certain people and invite them to no. But I need to get past that. I need to heal. And what I hide, I will never heal from. Whatever is hidden cannot be healed. It all had to go on paper. God couldn't. What if he was so? And I write this resentment, fear, and sex inventory, principles, institutions, and more heavy lifting where we are tonight. And that is when I go to the sponsor. and unload all of this stuff, yeah? And the thing was, the resentments, all right, I'll talk about these. I hate these people anyway, so here it is. And fears, I start to get a little uncomfortable because, you know, as a man, I have no fear. I fear no man. I'm afraid of my own shadow, but no one knows that. And then the other piece was the sex inventory. No. You know. And as my sponsor said, there's name for it's already been done. And the book is not saying you're evil or you're bad because you did it this way, this many times. They don't even care. We're not the arbiter, not judging anyone's sex conduct. We just want to take a look at where I harm me and other people. That's all we're looking at. They don't care what your lifestyle is. They don't care what you do behind closed doors. Have I hurt me and have I hurt other people? You know, taking advantage of someone. You know, batted my eyes to get what I want, flirt to get what I want. I'm really not interested in you, but I just want this. Or pretend I'm this when I'm really not around the ladies just to get what I want. Take advantage. We need to examine. It's all plaque on the soul. I'm blocked from God. I'm blocked from the light. And I try to convince myself everything's good. It was a long time ago, but it's not okay. Because that stuff surfaces. At some point, it's going to bubble to the surface and go, oh boy. And you know how I know that? When he or she walks in the door and I go, I got to get out of here. I'm not free. And so what our fifth step is about admitting to God, to myself, and to another human being, all my stuff. All of it on paper. And admitting to myself and to God, quite frankly, is easy. I'm alone and I'm writing and I'm praying, God, reveal to me. You know? And I'm writing this fourth step. But when I have to sit with you and now you're going to be in on it, this is where the ego gets crushed. And that's the part of me that don't want to go to that appointment. That's the part of me that's getting really uncomfortable. That's the part of me, I'll get a new sponsor. You know, and I remember when that day happened, I had an appointment with my sponsor, and up until that point, this guy walked on water. In my mind, he was Mr. AA, and whatever he asked me, any suggestion, direction, I did it because I had total trust and faith in this guy. And at the time, he was sober 15 years. When you got a year or two and your sponsor got 15 years, it's like, whoa, they're around forever. And that day, I says to, you know, my mind's telling me, who is this guy? What do you really know about him? You're about to unload this stuff. You can't trust him. Maybe he got drunk last night. Anything. And I got to his house. I remember praying. I got dropped to my knees. Says, God, please just get me to his house. And it was quite welcoming when I got there. He knew I was uncomfortable because he's been through this. And when I sit with men, I try to make it very nonchalant. And if they're really, really nervous, I'll pray with them. Sometimes it's not cookie cutter. Some guys, just let's get into it. Let's just get going. You know, I've even done this. What's the worst thing on your inventory? Let's talk about that right now. Choose this section. Let's get that thing out of the way so the rest of this will be easy. So I try to watch the drunk when they're in my house when I'm doing a fifth step. And I sat with this guy like I've done with all my sponsors, and we began. And I was instructed just to read to them what was on paper. Don't start elaborating unless they ask me to. Don't say, let me explain, because I'm going to justify something right now, because the ego's trying to get in there all the time. It's trying to push the door open, and this is a sacred moment, but the ego doesn't like it. It's not needed for this process. And it's about to get suffocated here. That's a great thing. And sometimes, you know, when I was done with the fifth step, it was like, whew, got that out of the way. But I did feel a lot closer to Alcoholics Anonymous. I was on the team now. And a lot of the fifth step promises they talk about may not happen. For me, it didn't happen right after step five. It was into six and seven. A couple of times I'm doing eight and nine, and I'm experienced with what our book is talking about in the fifth step promises. It's all God's job anyway. He will feed us as we need, not as I want, because I'm a glutton. I'll have an incredible experience in meditation on Monday. Life-changing. Tuesday, I go back in. Zap me again, God. Because I want even better than that. Okay. So this, what this simply shows, instead of a struggle towards perfection, quite frankly, it's just a walk towards humility. The less of me, more God. It says, having had a personal inventory, step four, what shall we do about it? We've been trying to get a new attitude, step two, and a new relationship, step three, with our Creator, and to discover the obstacles in my path. Do you ever, you know, you can't find your cell phone or your keys? The first thing we start doing is moving stuff out of the way, looking under stuff. We usually blame somebody in the process for it, right? But you move stuff out of the way. You don't throw stuff on top of the kitchen table to make it more. You move this, you move that, look under your computer, wherever it might be, go through your car, move stuff around. What we're doing here is the same thing. We're pushing stuff around. We're actually getting rid of it. This is a treasure map to God. So I can study the treasure map for years. I can recite all the instructions on it. But if I don't follow its directions, I don't gain anything. Nothing happens. I go to a restaurant, they give me a menu. I study the menu for week after week after week. I can tell you what the specials are from Monday to Sunday. I know what's on the menu. I even know the chef by now. But as I don't order, I keep going home hungry. I need to order. It says, we have admitted certain defects. We have ascertained in a rough way what the trouble is and put our finger on the weak items in our personal inventory. This is the coolest thing. It says, these are about to be cast out. We're not working on them. We're not going to examine them. When the trash can is full, we throw it out. And the only one who's going to be able to do this is God. I don't have the power to do that. Cast out. There was a gentleman, Chuck C. He used to say something that's pretty famous now. Uncover, discover, and discard. Three great phrases. That's what's going to happen. I don't need this on me anymore. I'm not wearing this stuff. These clothes don't fit anymore. They got to go. It says at the bottom of the page, if I skip this vital step, I may not overcome drink. And the old timers would say, either you do a fifth or you're going to drink a fifth. It's a clear-cut warning. It says, I must be entirely honest with somebody if I expect to live long and happily in this world. Our book talks about God's going to determine the length of life, but I need to be honest with someone. Here it is right now. We're going to sit down and flush this out. And the sponsor, like I do it, guys, and my sponsor do it with me, they're going to give me instructions. They're going to clear up some things. They're going to give me some considerations, all under God's light. They're even going to share, it happened to me. This is what I did about this. You need to pray about this person. And it goes on and on and on, and the tree is getting pruned, a severe pruning. I'm not cutting off some dead leaves here. I'm actually, what God's doing is taking the whole tree out of the soil, root and branch, and putting it in new soil again. He's constantly doing this. It hurts. It's uncomfortable. I'm embarrassed to share this. I'm uncomfortable sharing this. Who's uncomfortable? Who's embarrassed is the ego. And I start to hear myself saying stuff, and my sponsor starts taking some notes, and he says, you know, you were 25 when you're talking about these defects, the same defects you had when you were 7. It's you. That's the common thread. Different people, different neighborhoods. But it's you over and over and over again. It's like the guy who says, you know, I keep meeting crazy women. Well, maybe they are, but you keep picking them. It's you. You sabotage everything you touch. It's you. And that's what step five allowed me to. I heard myself, and my sponsor's talking about himself, and we're kind of walking through this together. It's unbelievable what happens. I'm sure a lot of people in here have done this. And you get out on the other side. And I'm usually exhausted and relieved that it's done. I don't know what's about to happen. I know 6 and 7 is waiting, but I don't know where God's going to send me. I've done a fifth step and just, okay, it's done. Nothing enlightening, just cleaned out the room again. And sometimes you just feel awake, lighter. You know when you do a good workout and you go take a shower, and you come out of the shower, you just feel like strong. You just feel good. Your body worked out, a fresh shower, some nice clean clothes. You're just like, I feel, I got a little pimp in my step right now. I feel good. We come out of this, we've gotten rid of all the junk. My sponsor knows about it. The more people who know about me, the more, this is how the quote goes, the more open I am to others, the more open I become. The more I share with a close group about my stuff, I feel lighter. My wings are flapping. I'm not held down by the weight of the past. My misdeeds in the past are no longer putting me in a position where life is painful. I've discussed it with someone. There's something, it's old stuff. Scripture says something like, confess your sins to one another, pray for one another, that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. It's what's going on here. This is ancient stuff. It's a cleansing of the soul. That doesn't justify me to go do it again. I'm still in a position of, I'm willing to, I don't want to be that guy or that woman on step 4 and 5. I want them to go away for good and all. And let God pull out the good in me and bring it into my new life. But I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to see that guy anymore. And we're cleansed, we're healed, we're awakened because of it. It's a big piece of work. It's going to set me up for, in fact, what I do in column 4 in the fourth step, and I'm going to discuss it in 5, is pretty much going to be my template, if you will, for my 8-step list, my fourth column, self-dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened. I can see my harms caused in there. I make a harms caused list. It's going to set up my 8-step list. Not in its entirety, but I got a map here of, you know, even though they did this, this is what I did in retaliation. That's wrong. You know, Joe gossiped about me, so it's okay for me to gossip about him all over Broward County. No, that's not cool. I can't do that. Or because maybe someone stole from me in high school, it's okay for me to be a thief now. After all, they took from me, so it's my turn. No, that's not okay. That's what I had to take a look at. Just a couple of more things. It says here in step 5, we pocket our pride and go to it, illuminating every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past. I stop reading there. Now we go in to do this 5th step. And so sometimes we pray and meditate. Sometimes we'll read some stuff out of the book, depending on your sponsor and their influence, the flavor, the different flavors in AA. And then we go in. And however long that takes, I have an attention span of about 2 hours. Honestly, when it starts to get into 3 hours, I start to drift a little. And I can't do that because it says we're engaged upon a life and death there, and I can't screw with that. So I would just say, okay, we're going to stop for now. We'll pick it up tomorrow, whenever we can, but as soon as possible. So 2 hours, I'm all in, and I can feel it. I'm starting to drift. And it's not that they're boring or they're not writing anything interesting. I just lose interest. I just start to drift. I start to get tired. So I'm really clear about that with them when we start. Now, we're done with the 5th step. It says, once having taken this step, withholding nothing. How much take it to the grave stuff do I have that the sponsor didn't get? I had a couple of guys in my journey thus far. One guy called me 2 days later and said, I got to talk to you. I left something out of the 5th step, and I'm in a panic mode. And he never paid taxes. He was into the IRS for a fortune of money. He didn't screw up in filing his tax. He just didn't file. And a lot of stuff he was doing illegal anyway. And so he wanted to know part of Uncle Sam. I said, well, we need to take care of that. So he lawyered up and made a deal and paid it off, and he got free. I had another guy who was involved in a lot of criminal stuff, I'll call it that, and he was along for a ride with some very bad people, that thing where 3 people go into the forest and only 2 come out. And he was dying because of it. He watched it. And so we prayed together, and I says, he was a Catholic, and I says, I want you to do, I want you to go to church, I want you to sit with a priest and make a confession. That's going to stay right there. I want you to, and I gave him some suggestions about praying for the family and things like that in order to heal, and you might need some outside help. That's a heavy one. But he was not in that kind of line of work anymore. And he got on with his life and began to heal from it. It's interesting because a lot of the men he sponsored, I remember thereafter, were all these roughnecks who would come into AA. And he would go for them and walk them through. With God, all things are possible. On my own, I'm in trouble. The fifth step promises is once having taken a step, withholding nothing, we're delighted. I can look the world in the eye. I can be alone at perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. It goes on and on and on to discuss our fifth step promises. I didn't get that as soon as I got done with step five. But I remember I was walking up the, I was on my way to a meeting called the Bath Beach Group in Brooklyn. And it was an old elementary school. And the meeting was on the second floor. They had a doubleheader. It was a 7 and an 8:30 meeting. We used to go to both. The second meeting was a step meeting. The first meeting was a beginner's meeting. And we went there every Friday. And I remember walking up the old metal steps in the school. And I don't know what happened. But it was like I was just kind of floating. The world was okay. I was okay. I wasn't gun shy when I talked to people. I can look people in the eye. It was, something was going on. A few days later, I remember watching a Knick game on TV, and I didn't have the radio on with the TV on. I wasn't on the phone looking out the window to be distracted from me. I remember watching an entire game, making myself lunch at halftime. It was an afternoon game, and it was cool. And I realized I can be alone at perfect peace and ease. This is new territory for me. I've never embarked on this kind of property before. This is incredible. This was happening. It was after my fifth step was over, not immediately after. Some of us get blasted as soon as we come out. I was relieved. I felt part of the team. And then God shows up when God shows up. Why would I want to miss this? And here's the thing. Through the whole process, my mind didn't say, get a drink. Just a little something. After you did your fifth step, now you're good to go. It was removed. It was already removed before I got to step 10. What a tremendous amount of freedom, yeah? All those manifestations of self were locked down in a room somewhere. They weren't fluttering around telling me what to say, what to do, and how to act. And perhaps for the first time that I can remember clearly, I started looking back on it. I started to little by slowly operate out of the soul, and I wasn't operating out of the head, or at least less operating out of the head. My mind was taking, was my sponsor says something great. The mind isn't going anywhere. It sits at the boardroom table. It's a non-voting partner. It doesn't have a vote anymore. It's at the table. It'll always be at the table. When you got the chairman of the board and all those people who are going to vote on new company policies, he's just there. He has no voice. That's the mind. That's the ego. That's all of it. And I like it that way. I like God being the chairman of the board and making decisions for me. I just have to listen. And so what I'm supposed to do, and nowadays it might be challenging because we're bombarded with social media, especially new folks coming in. Every moment of their life is on social media. I'm getting a haircut. You know, we get engaged, we photograph it now. God bless you if you do that. I'm not judging it. Yes, I am. I'm not judging it. It makes people happy. I just thought that was something between me and her alone. I'll post it maybe, or she'll post, but not right now. And so we come in here and we're asked after the fifth step. It's a very intimate moment we're about to experience. It's between me and God. It says, we go quiet for 1 hour. It's the only time in the book it talks about a time frame. 1 hour. Me and God. No cell phone, no Facebook, no Twitter. What else is out there? I was going to say Netflix. That's not a thing. Whatever else they got. I don't even know what's out there. None of that stuff. No phone calls. I mean, God forbid if it's online when I get it. But none of that stuff. It's just me and God, which can seem overwhelming when we come in, especially new folks coming in, constantly bombarded with social media and the news is 24/7. We're just overrun by it, and now I'm going to hit the brakes and say 1 hour of nothing. Quiet time. Even when I go into church, there's a little whispering talking, how you doing? And then the service begins, the organ, the choir, and the priest talks. So there's activity going on. Kneeling, standing, sitting, kneeling. There's a little exercise that goes on in the Catholic Mass. We do aerobics over there. We do all this stuff. And then it ends, and you're back in the car, and you're on the phone. And when does it stop? Right here. Hopefully it stops when I'm doing my on awakening and retiring at night. Hopefully I get some time communing with God during the day. Or I just turn in order to go out, hi, God, it's me. I'm just mowing my lawn, or I'm watering the flowers. I do that after prayer meditation. I do a lot of this in the morning, watering flowers. It's just, I practice. I'm faithful to that practice. You know, it's me and God and, you know, little squirrels running around. I got Chip and Dale in my backyard. It's a riot. And, but we're going to get quiet for an hour here. And I reflect on what I've done thus far. It's a real living life forward and understanding it backwards. I'm looking at one. It tells me, look at the first five proposals. Am I still clear I'm alcoholic? Or I believe I'm not alcoholic right now. That God could and would if he was sought. Am I still willing to turn everything over to God? Everything, my life is none of my business. I'm going to please God, serve God, worship God through the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous to allow me to be an instrument, his hands and feet out there. I can't have a little spirituality here and be Rambo out there. If spirituality touches none of my life, it doesn't touch every area of my life. It touches none of my life, yeah? Have I been thorough in four? You know, take it to the grave stuff. I could call my sponsor. Sponsor, listen, I'm really embarrassed about this one, but I didn't tell you this. They're going to say, cool, what is it? Let's talk about it. Let's write about it. If his name for it's been done, it's really okay. Sometimes it's a sex inventory. It's like, you know, I'm embarrassed to tell you what I was, you know. Let's hear it. Let's get it out. Okay, done. No. Oh, my God, you. You got to go, you know. It's just not that way. And then I just sit quiet. That can be a lot for some. If you have a life of meditation by then, it's not such a stretch. And I could just sit quiet with God for an hour, do some prayer. I like to meditate. See what comes to me. Maybe something surfaces. I don't know. Maybe just God wants me alone for an hour. And just to kind of patch me up, heal me up, pump some air into me. It's okay. Off you go. You know? It's like the little kids playing in the yard all day, and mama calls him in, and she gives him a little bath, right? Feeds him, combs his hair, puts some fresh clothes, says, go back in the yard and play now. It's time to go to bed. And that's what we're doing. We just did a lot of work for him, five. Some of us might be a little banged up. Book knew it. God knows it. And so we get that hour quiet time, and I'm really tight on time here, but quickly, when alcoholic says quickly, you're in for the duration. I'm going to try my best here, but I was going to the work about the third time, and I'm in the hour quiet time, and I start to get really uncomfortable, and I'm hating me for the stuff, and I'm reflecting on my entire life, and I felt embarrassed to be me, and I'm starting to question the book, AA, God, my sponsor, and I'm starting to feel just physically uncomfortable, and I don't know what's going on, but I just feel like I'm just melting on the inside, and during that hour quiet time, I ran to the phone, and I called my sponsor, Mark. He says, what's going on? I says, here it is, and he said this to me. I'll never forget it. It sounds to me like you're having an experience and hung up the phone. Now what do I do? Common sense, just go back to the hour. I hate him right now, but I'm going to go back to the hour. And I finished the hour. He called me later on and explained to me exactly what was happening. And he was glad I called. He says, I wasn't going to talk you out of that experience by explaining to you what was going on. And he took a page from Silky walking in on Bill Wilson and saying something like, hold on to it. It's better than what you got. Left Bill alone. He didn't say, well, let's talk about this. Let's medicate you. Let's call other people into. He knew this was something happening. Mark recognized that. He says, I've told you over and over and over again, it's daily dying for successful living, that death of self in order to experience God. That's what was going on with you. All of that was happening. We can't make that happen. We can't be the catalyst. But when the ground is fertile, God says, now. We just didn't know what was going on. And he keeps himself anonymous because I knew what was going on. I would have said, well, this is really good. I can't wait to go share it. I was petrified. But I came out of that different. Looking back on it now, different. So the things that can happen in this process are incredible. We can't even plan what's going to happen. But I need to be in there. With the sponsor, methodically walking through the work. Some go through slow, some do line by line. My school was like assignments out of the book and do a little reading. We weren't line by line guys. Some folks are line by line. Who cares? Are you free from this thing? Are you bringing that out there? Yeah? Is God the most important relationship in my life? And because it's going to tell me by the time we finish, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of the 12 steps, it's guaranteed. It's one of the biggest promises in our book, on the opening of step 12. It doesn't say you might have this. Good luck. It's almost past tense. Having had, this is what to do with it. That's all I got. Peace.
Let's thank Peter one more time. And we have Ryan for the secretary's report.
That every group shall be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. The baskets are now going around. There's also QR codes on the back of the chairs. If you'd rather give through Venmo, we can do that way as well. Same thing for on Zoom. I've asked Thomas to read the recovered statement. We read this notice to explain why many people in AA identify as recovered rather than recovering and what it exactly means to be a recovered alcoholic. So let's welcome up Thomas.
My home group is Traditional Steps. I'm an alcoholic, and my name is Thomas. And today, guys, today's the best day of my life. Recovered. We're not cured of alcoholism. Recovered, but not cured. That presents a conflict to some alcoholics. If we were cured, we would be able to drink responsibly. No, we're not cured. The allergic reaction to alcohol will remain with us for our lifetime. But we have been restored to sanity. That was the problem. The main problem of the alcoholic centers in his mind rather than in the body. Page 23. We are now sane where alcohol is concerned. Consequently, we have recovered.
Awesome. Thank you, Thomas. 1940-style big book sponsorship, from the forward to the second edition of Alcoholics Anonymous. Of alcoholics who came to AA and really tried, 50% got sober at once and remained that way, 25% sobered up after some relapses, and among the remainder, those who stayed on with AA showed improvement. What we've seen, felt, come to believe, and experienced is that God has not changed over time, and neither should the sacred approach back to his loving arms. The statistics above suggest a 75%+ success rate. Does anybody need a sponsor? If you could raise your hand. No. If you're too shy, just come stand awkwardly up here and someone will come talk to you after the meeting. Can the recovered alcoholics raise your hand? Awesome. If your hand's not up, talk to someone whose hand is. We have some announcements. Intergroup is where you can buy AA-related literature and medallions. Intergroup is also responsible for creating our where and when and scheduling the AA hotline. Stop by and visit them. Broward County Institutions Committee is responsible for bringing meetings into places where people like us can't get to an AA meeting, such as jails, detoxes, rehabs. They meet monthly to organize the meeting schedules at the 12-step house. Is there anybody here from BCIC? All right, so if you want any information on that, you can see someone whose hand is up. Monday nights, we have our big book study, same room, same time, 7:15. So come check that out. And then we have Peter on his seventh session next week. It's been amazing so far, so you're not going to want to miss that. We have CDs, mugs, large print big books, little red books, and big book dictionaries for sale on the piano in the back. We meet every Thursday starting promptly at 7:15, and we ask that you be courteous and ready to begin at the sound of the bells. Thanks. See you next week.
We have tonight's session and all past speakers podcasted at alcoholicsandgod.org. I'd like to invite everyone again to the Monday night big book study, and those who wish to thank Peter tonight, please line up down the center aisle, and we can close with the Lord's Prayer. Who will bring us from shame to grace?
Never again. Now that I understand. sounds, and oh, when you're smiling, when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you, baby, baby. Yes, when you're laughing. When you're laughing, yes, the sun comes shining through. But when you're crying, you bring on the rain. So stop your sighing, baby, and be happy again. Yes, and keep on smiling. Keep on smiling, baby, and I hope. Let it shine.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, 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 let it shine. Out in the dark,
Michael Chase, here's that song you've been asking me for a million years. I finally pulled it out the corners of my mind, and here you go. Song is. God bless. I love you, Mike Chase. Bye.
I think you know this one, don't you? Shine a light on.
Got one man that just won't sell.